share this with the first class, and I'm gonna share it with you guys. And you wonder why my phone hanging like that. And I said I would share it again. You know, living by the book, it's just a lifestyle. It's never an event. It's never a preparation for a moment. It's just something. I mean, I love the title, Living by the Book. It's a lifestyle. Even if you ain't gonna preach for the next 20 years, you should still be living by the book. And in doing that, you know, for myself, I'm always looking to see what God is. I'm looking to see what he's speaking. The audacity of us sometimes to try to tell God how to speak to us. I try to look for him to speak to us in a certain same way all the time. God speak to you however he wants to. God used a donkey in the Bible. Remember that? Y'all know about that? God can use whatever he wants. And so I'm always constantly looking, trying to see what he's saying. I prepare myself, and I study the word, and I prepare myself, but I'm always looking for something fresh. I'm always looking for something fresh from God that he wants to say at that moment. So I'm walking earlier today, and this is a quick little story. I'm walking earlier today, and I got my books in my hands, coming from the back building. Welcome sideways. I got my two books in my hand from class tonight, and had my phone. I had it hooked up, you know, trying to give me a little charge because my battery was low. And I'm walking. I saw a guy out coming out that I knew, and so I'm preparing myself to shake hands. And when I'm preparing to shake hands, I dropped my phone. Now, if anybody know anything about the iPhone, that's a breathe deep moment, because you don't know if it hit the ground, it might hit the flat on the ground, you don't know if it's cracked, you don't even want to look at it. Anybody ever had that happen before? I done broke about 5 or 6. Don't feel good, all right? And so I'm thinking, Lord, my phone dropping. And, you know, I'm preparing to shake this guy's hand, my phone dropping, but it drops, but it doesn't hit the ground because it's hanging on to this car. I made a statement. You know, you get funny, but you make a statement. Lord, so I speak to him. I said, thank the Lord for the car. I laughed it off, but then I said it again, and the Lord started talking to me. And he said, your phone was protected from hitting the ground because of connection. Because it was linked to the card, and the card helped it from hitting the ground and causing destruction. So now because I'm connected, because the card is connected, you know, human nature, sometimes we're going to fall. Y'all know that, right? You know, and I get off. I told the other class, get off of sin, fall into sin. No. Just a misstep. You ever tripped before when you was by yourself and you just tripped on your own 2 feet? And you look around, see if anybody looking at y'all. No, right. And you get mad, but you can't get mad at nobody but your own 2 feet, right? The connection. I'm going to refer to this probably every class because government is primary. I call this apostolic school in government. Government is something that's a lost art in the church. It's a lost art in the clergy, if I can use that. It's a lost art with ministers. Many don't know the place of the apostle and the prophet and the pastor and evangelist and teacher. They don't know how we all work together. They don't know, we read the scripture, every joint supplies, but a lot of us don't know how every joint supplies. So that's part of our job too, is to teach you how the apostolic government flows. Government flows a certain way. But if we ever get government right and everybody get in their place, then the funnel from heaven can be open, and then thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God can start doing some of those old things that he used to do that we read about in the Old Testament. You know, the former days, where God was doing all kind of radical stuff, we start seeing some of the same things. When we all individually, whatever your gifting is, line up in the government, learn how to submit, and learn how to be in the place that you're supposed to be in. So connection is primary, because connection will keep you from hitting the ground even when you trip on your own. Even when you make a misstep. But now I got two things. I told another class, two things that connection do for me with that charge. It charge me up, give me power, give me all charged up so I can keep on doing what I got to do, right? Then it keeps me from hitting the ground. So I said, thank you, Lord, for the card. Say it. Now, while you're saying that, you got to see if you got a card. Because if you don't have a card, you're a renegade, and you ain't got no place to get charged. And you don't got a card, when you fall, you'll hit the ground because there's nothing else to catch you. See, my connection with Apostle, you know, you say, well, that's your dad. I know, but it's deeper than that. My mother always told me, don't look at him as just your dad, but you look at him as your man of God. Because if you don't look at him as your man of God, you'll never be able to get the anointing. So there's some times that I got to back up. Okay, I don't just be saying, hey, daddy, no, Apostle, what you want from me? What you need me to do? I know how to switch gears, all right? And my connection to him has kept me from hitting the ground many times. Because on my own, sometimes I misstep. On my own, sometimes I make decisions that I think are the right, and it sounds like good stuff to do. But because of connection, it keeps me from hitting the ground. I might fall and dangle for a minute. You know, that don't feel good neither. But it keeps me from hitting the ground, and it keeps me charged. The greatest thing the Bible says is that no man should think more highly of himself than he ought to think. Y'all know the scripture, right? The problem with that, and it's sometimes with ministers, see, when the power gets to flowing, we start to feel like it's us sometimes. That's why humility is important, because being humble says, I totally depend on God for everything. It's all about him, not about me. I'm his vessel, yes. Yes, I have to live a certain way for him to use me, but it's all about him. Humility says it's all him, not me. I'm only good because he good. I'm only able because he's able. All right? But sometimes, we're going to get into the book, we're going to do a little reading, but sometimes as ministers, it's very easy to when the anointing gets to flowing and when the power of God begins to flow through you, which he wants to do that through you and wants to use you. I mean, we are the vessel. We are simply the vessel, but he does that. But when the power gets to flowing and God uses you as a vessel, sometimes it can get to our heads. So I said, don't think yourself more highly. Sometimes it can get to our heads when we made a connection and we pick up a little anointing from Bible school. Now, we didn't hear something out of apostle class that we ain't never heard before. And so we want to go out and give it out. No. Because a lot of times that's just because of the connection. You only got that charge and that power because of the connection. But don't break the connection. One of the things about connection is, I looked at my phone earlier, and I ain't going to look at it right now, but I'll look at it right now. It don't matter. Right now, my phone is on 15%. It's pretty low, ain't it? That's tough. I'm going to charge it up right after class. 15%. If I don't charge that thing back up, if I don't connect that thing back, ain't no more power going in there. The phone will die and not do nothing else. But I got a little power in there. I got 15%. I got enough to make a couple calls, shoot a couple texts, check a couple emails, use my light in my phone and to find something on the floor. I got a little power to do something. But it's not about that little power to do something. It's about staying connected. Now, government, say government. It's about staying connected so that the power can keep coming. You say, well, I got to be connected to a man for the, yes. It's absolutely right. You name something God did in the Bible he didn't use a man to do. You name somebody that picked up something that God didn't use another man to minister to him to do it. Even Jesus had to be baptized by John the Baptist. Everybody say connection. My phone was not been connected to that card. It might be a different kind of screen right now. Might be cracked up, broke up, then it caused me more trouble because now I got to get another phone, got to go spend my another phone, got to get my server turned back on, got to do all this other stuff, when I ain't really got to do all that if I stay connected. That connection sometimes helps me with my grace. So stay connected. It's government. Stay connected. Government. Stay connected. The biggest problem in the church today is lack of connection. People can't handle strong connection. Because soon as something comes that's contrary to what they believe, they want to run. Soon as somebody tells you, shut it down, now they ain't hearing God. But they was your man of God when the anointing was vibing and you was getting what you wanted. Strong teaching. This strong teaching. But we have to learn. We have to learn. We have to learn. We have to learn first and foremost about connection. This is not an accidental school. You're not here by accident. I don't believe in coincidence. I stopped believing in coincidence years ago. There's no such thing as coincidence. God planned the thing. The curse calls it shall not come. The blessing calls it shall not come. There is a reason for you being here at this moment, at this school, for a purpose. But don't let the window pass. Don't let the moment pass. Catch everything you got to catch. You get me? Don't come here for that paper. That paper ain't going to do you nothing. That paper you're going to get at the next year, if you stay long enough. Y'all, I think you'll get a paper after this year, too, for first year. Paper ain't going to do you nothing. It's got to be the anointing. So stay connected. Keep you from falling. Keep you from busting your own head. On our own, we'll fall all the time. 1 Timothy, I told you 1 Timothy, I think. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. I'm going to be referring to government connection every class. You say, we're living by the book. That's living by the book. That's in the book, too. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Verse 15. Ready, read. All right, y'all ain't done. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. We're gonna read it together. Ready, read. What's that first word? Now, it's studying. I like the next one. To show thyself approved unto who? Not unto the congregation. Not unto other people to prove that you know the word. Or to prove that you smart in Jesus. No. Study to show thyself approved unto God. There's a line we're going to read in that book, and it says God can't use a lot of people because they're not prepared. You cannot prepare. Listen. You want a flow of anointing? I can't hear you. You cannot prepare event-wise, and you cannot prepare for a moment. You just got to stay prepared. You know the parable about the ten virgins, five had all, five didn't? I don't know if I said it last week. Five had all, five didn't. The five had all. They was ready for the bridegroom to come. Five of them didn't. So we still waiting on the bridegroom. We still waiting on the moment. We still waiting on whatever God want to do. We still right there waiting on it. But they not prepared for it. So they sitting there were like, well, they got all. We need to go get our all. So they leave. They say, all right, y'all go get your all. While they gone, the bridegroom come take them. And they didn't got left behind. Most people equate that to the rapture, right? But let's look at real life right now. The rapture ain't happened today. So what does that mean to me right now? It's living by the book. What does that mean to me right now? When I read this, it's living by the book. What is it saying to me right now? Because it's not, okay, I'm reading it right now, and the rapture ain't happening. So it can't be that right now. Yeah, I need to be ready. What is it saying to me right now? It's telling me I need to be prepared at every moment. Because we never know when God wants to use. You don't get ready. I tell people when they, you don't start quoting scriptures. Why you live by the book. You live by the word of God. You don't start quoting scriptures when the battle comes. You can't get ready for the test on the day of the test. Y'all school, right? Now y'all been in grade school before, right? Regular school. Y'all know your good study habits and your bad study habits, don't you? I used to be bad. I was a little crammer. You know what a cramming is? You wait till the last minute. You got all the stuff, but you wait till Tuesday before the test on Thursday and try to stay up all night. Never works. I lucked up on a couple C's every now and then, but it never really worked. You can't get ready for the test on the day of the test. You have to stay prepared. You can't even just be prepared for a test because the object of the class is to learn. Even in this class, don't be reading this book trying to pass my test. My test ain't going to be a judgment on you. My test ain't going to be the thing of whether you're going to be successful or not. Whether you're living by that word and letting that apply to your heart is going to be the test. So God can't use a lot of people because they're not prepared. So you study to show yourself approved unto God in your private time. When we ain't got no message. When they ain't got no men's meeting or no women's meeting today. And when I ain't leading prayer this week. Do I not study? Can I lack up on my study? Can I slack back? Because, you know, I ain't got no. I study to show myself approved unto God. Well, how often? Come on, let's live by the book. Can we live by the book a little bit? Can we live by the book? Can we meditate the scripture a little bit? Well, how often do I need to be approved by God? Heard a man tell me today, listen to a man teach, and he said, the scripture said, if God be for us, what'd it say? That's powerful, ain't it? Flip it around, though. Flip-flop, come on. If God ain't for me, it don't matter who, you know, if God is against me, it don't matter who for me. Are y'all with that for a second? So you live by the book. So now, how often, how frequently should I be approved of God? On Sunday, on Wednesday, during prayer meeting, when somebody's looking, when everybody's there, how often do I need to be approved of God? Huh? Okay, so now it tells me how much I should be studying. This book of the law should not depart out of mind, but thou shalt meditate. We read it last week. This book of the law should not depart out of mind, but thou shalt meditate. How long? How long? That thou mayest observe to do. According to all that's written therein, for then you're going to make your way prosperous. Then you have good success. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of God, nor stand away the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And how long does he meditate? Then it says he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bear fruit in its season, and the leaf won't wither, and everything he does shall prosper. Now, God ain't had to tell us everything we do shall prosper, but he did, didn't he? It's something that he gave us, huh? We should just be studying just because we love God. Really? When you read a lot of these scriptures, come on, let's live by the book. Can we live by the book? I'm going to keep asking, can we live by the book? This is meditation. Really, when I'm reading these scriptures, I just need to find out what I got to do and leave the rest up to him. All right. Can you make everything you do prosper? On your own?
Not on my own.
No. We've been trying that already, huh? Go to work, doing all the different stuff, we're trying that. You can't do it. It's proven that we can't do it on our own.
Right.
But God can. So God gave me a word a long time ago. I was in prayer. He gave me his word, and it was clear. He said, what you can do, that's how simple this is. I was like, he said, what you can do, do that. He said, what you can't do, you just can't do. But leave it up to me, and I'll take it across. I'll fulfill that stuff. And see, that's the promise. That's the promise of it. This book of law shall not depart from my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written there, according to all that is written therein. Right? 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 That's all we got to worry about. Because if you do that, then you shall make your way prosperous. No, 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 no. It didn't say it might be. It didn't say it could be. No, no, no. You're going to make your way prosperous if you do the first part. If my delight is in the law and I meditate that day and night, then I'm going to be like a tree planted by the stability. Then I'm going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who leaves not wither, bear fruit in the season, and whatever I do, prosper. But it goes back to this meditation. Do y'all see it? So I study to show myself approved unto God. What's the next part said? Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Y'all slow in that Bible. Come on. A workman that needed not be ashamed. A workman that needed not be. Read that and understand what it's saying. A workman, a workman, a work, work. Everybody say work. Work. Say it again. Say work. Work. I'm going to read another part in this book. I'm skipping. I'm going to read this book. The Lord don't do nothing for nobody that's lazy. Ain't nobody that's lazy going to ever do nothing great for God. If you feel like being lazy, just stay safe, stay holy, and just ride your ticket on to heaven. Don't expect nothing else to happen. The Bible talks about God hating the sluggard. God ain't gonna do nothing for nobody lazy. So a workman that needed not a workman that needed not be ashamed. Then what's the next part says? Rightly divided. So if I can rightly divide the word, what that mean? What's the opposite of that? I can wrongly divide. There's a lot of people wrongly dividing the word. You know, I told him in another class, it's very easy. You can pick the book. In your mind, just in your non-spiritual affected mind, you can take scriptures and start rambling them off and make something sound good. You done it before, huh? Me too. Hey, amen. I know if I done it, huh? Come on. Come on. Come on, preachers. Come on. We took the scriptures, rambled it off. Wasn't no anointing on it, but we made it sound deep. We changed our voice a little bit. Get a little inflection, but a little growl in it, and now we felt like the Spirit. No, 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 we done it before. I understand. Anybody can take the scripture and start rambling off. People, look, the Bible says the devil know the scriptures. The devil know the Bible better than you. How long he been reading? Think about all them years. Oh, yeah, he know it. He quoted the scriptures back to you. That's why Jesus had to say in the Bible when he said it's written, he had to say it is said. Now, he can't hear what's said. He can't hear what thus said the Lord, because he ain't got that kind of connection. But that's the difference. Living by the book, that's the difference. That's the difference between you. Because other people, they got other people out in the streets that can read the Bible. They read it all day long trying to prove people wrong. Do y'all get that? So now, rightly dividing the word of truth, that means it shows me. Now we didn't sit there, and it's been about 10 minutes. We just took verse 15 apart by itself. See what meditation does? You see what meditation does? You get into that scripture. Listen. The word of God is inexhaustible. You cannot exhaust it. You cannot wring it all the way out. You ever try to wring a towel out? You never really get all the water out, right? Even if you wring it out and you wring it out, it's still damp. There's still something that's just gonna have to dry up later. You're never going to get all the water out the Bible. Rivers of living water. But you got to search. And you got to dive. So the Spirit searches all things. Yeah, the deep things. You can find some of them deep things if you start digging. You know, when you dig, anybody ever dug before? This is my last. Anybody ever had to dig? Come on, by show of hands. Anybody ever had to dig? Like, this outside dig for something, right? Right? I don't care if you're digging for a little plant or you're digging to try to find a pipeline. You had to dig before, right? Whenever digging, sometimes you got to get a little dirty. And it takes a little work. Sometimes they call it elbow grease. And you got to get down in there. And sometimes you get a little dirt under your fingernail. And it takes a little time. You ever dug on, like, hard ground? Like that hard, like clay, like that? Yeah, that ain't no joke. Take a little work. But when you get to what you got to get to, you feel a sense of accomplishment. And you reach the goal. I ain't never seen a treasure on top of the ground. That's why they got vaults and different things like that, because they put the precious stuff on the inside and lock it up. So now we got to get in there and figure out the combination. We got to get in there and start digging. It takes a little work. We got to dig. It takes a little work. We got to dig. It takes a little work to get to the precious things. You don't just get to it just because you signed up to be a Christian. So you done prayed the prayer and asked Jesus to come in your heart. Praise the Lord. Now what we do? Dig. We got to get to know him better. We gotta trust the Holy Ghost and help dig till we get to the deep things of God. That deep place is where your answer is. That deep place is where the deliverance is for whatever you need. It's in the deep. It's not on the top of the ground. If it's on top of the ground, everybody have an answer. But why everybody don't have one? Because nobody wants it. Why you see some anointed and then some just, they're just out there? Or why he's so much anointed more than such and such? Aren't they all called of God? It's less about the calling and more about what you're doing. You can be called of God, but if you're lazy, it don't even matter. Faith without works is dead. So now digging to show myself approved. Workman need not be ashamed. Rightly. Studying shows me how to rightly divide this word. If I don't do that first part, I'll never rightly divide, which means I'll wrongly divide, and I'm end up getting somebody killed, which is going to be on my hands. Then God going to check me and ask me why I wasn't digging. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Chapter 2, I touched on chapter 1 a little bit. And we started talking about the different reasons. I need something that works. I don't know how. You highlight all that. I'm just a layman. I don't have the time. All excuses. Excuses are the crutches of the uncommitted. I don't have my doubts about the Bible. Can't seem to make it interesting. I get it. I understand why people feel that way. But we're trying to figure out a little more. So in chapter 2, it says, why I study the Bible. And it says, the Bible study is essential to growth. Y'all see that part? On page, I don't know what page this is. I guess it's page 21, chapter 2, the beginning of chapter 2. We're going to do a little bit of reading and underlining in this Bible. Let me get to a couple things on how to study. Bible study is essential to growth. All right, in the first passage, 1 Peter 2 and 2, we don't have to go there. But it talks about the newborn babes and pure milk. And I got my book. Sometimes I write notations in my book. I got my stuff all highlighted whenever you're studying. You know, writing them, right? Listen, if you got a book that you can't write in, then you ain't trying to study. You got a Bible that you can't write in. Listen, God ain't worried about you writing in that Bible. Oh, my God. God ain't worried about that. All right? God not worried about it. Oh, you touch his holy Bible. No, God not worried about that. God wants you to learn more. And I got on the say, it says, except you become as little children. It talks about attitude on page 22. It says, except you become as little children. You know, in time, the babies are crying for that milk. They're looking for that milk. They're going for it. They're hungry for it. They don't want nothing else but that. They have a yearning for it. So they scream out to get what they got to get. Huh? Anybody ever had a baby before? They scream out to get what they got. Yeah, they scream out, don't they? And it talks about appetite. And say long for it. Remember last week we talked about scroll down a little bit. Last week we talked about the nasty medicine type and the shredded wheat. Then the strawberry and cream. You know, a lot of people do the word and take it like nasty medicine. You know what I'm saying? When you take medicine, when you're sick, when you got a problem, so you run to the word. Take them pills. How many people don't like taking pills? Some of y'all don't like taking pills. You want the liquid kind, huh? You don't like the medicine. I took some medicine that's so nasty. Nasty medicine. Then they got the shredded wheat. I do it, but I don't like it. It's dry. It's bland. But I know I need to do it because wheat is good for me. Right? Huh? Y'all know y'all all been there. You get up and reading that Bible. Tell the truth, man. See, y'all don't be real with me. You get up and read that Bible. You're like, I know I need to be reading. But I don't feel like reading today. We'd have been there before. Some of them may have bypassed by now. I get it, but it's going to be a long. They're hungry and thirsty after righteousness. I understand. But you get the shredded wheat phase. Where it's dry. It's like the Lord ain't anointed. You still got crust in your eyes because you woke up early. Trying to read. I understand. Shredded wheat. I get it. But then you also get over there to the strawberries and cream, I think it said. Where it gets to the point where you might not like strawberries, whatever you like in cream, okay? It gets to the point where it becomes an appetite. It's built in for you. There's some things that I didn't like when I was younger. A lot of young people don't like to eat greens. The things that's good for them, they don't really like it. But as I got older, I started changing. I tried something, and I started realizing what I need, and it started getting good for me, and I developed an appetite for the things that I needed. I developed an appetite for broccoli. A lot of little kids don't like broccoli just because it looked green. Right? But I developed an appetite for it. Now, if you put it on my plate, I'm going to tear it all down before I eat everything else. not just because I know it's good for me, but I developed an appetite for it. So now my appetite and the knowing that it's good for me works all out in my good. So I develop an appetite for a thing. You can develop an appetite for the Word of God. Watch this. You can develop an appetite for the Word of God. Watch this. You can develop an appetite for the Word of God. If you keep visiting and you keep eating, you'll fix your palate for the Word. And to the point where don't nothing else taste right until the Word on it. I don't want nothing else but the Word. Y'all got all that. Show me where the Word at. Get to the point where you wake up in the middle of the night, you need a fix. I'm going to fix me a plate of that Word, right? You know y'all go to the refrigerator late at night, huh? You want a little snack or something, huh? It's the Word. You develop that. That is not, listen, it's not bestowed on you. Huh? Lay hands on me before I have a stronger yearning. No. You got to develop that. Put your anointing on me for me to have, no. Get your behind up in the morning. And you open that Word. And it may not seem like, it may start off shredded wheat, huh? It may start off that way, but if you keep going, it's like praying in the Spirit. I told you that last week. It's like praying in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, you know, you start off and you ain't really in the Spirit. You praying to try to get in the Spirit. You know, you ain't really praying in the Spirit. You say you ain't praying in the Spirit, you praying in tongues, but you ain't, right? But you pray for a little while and you get a little while and you look around, see who else praying. You think about what time prayer in at 8. See, we got a clock in prayer, so the clock be gone. We don't know when. People looking back at the clock, 45 minutes, all right. And you don't know, your phone go off, you text somebody trying to, you know, y'all know how it is, right? Let's be real. Can we be real? Can we be real, church? And then, but see, you really put it down and get in there. You pray for it. Don't take long. It'll take a couple minutes. You start praying, and that things start flowing, boy. You start praying in the Spirit, and that things start flowing, and it start building up, and that current start flowing. And before you know it, you in there asking God what the mystery is. God talking to you. You talking to him. Everything flowing. 8 o'clock hitting you and won't stop. I know when I pray, when I get in there and I really focus and start praying in tongues, 8 o'clock get here and it's time for me to stop. But I'm talking to people in the middle of conversation. I'm like, yeah, man, how should I about? You can't stop. Because you done got the flow going the same way the Word is. It may start off nasty medicine. It may, my father told me this. He said, that you may prove in the scripture. You ready? That you may prove what is that good. All right, 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 right. Levels of this, right? All right, good, then acceptable, right, 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 right. Then there's a perfect will. And I always thought, well, I want the perfect will. I want the perfect will. Well, he said, you just can't get to the perfect will just because you want it. You gotta go through some steps, son. So you get to that good will, and you master good will. And you get to acceptable, and you master that. And if you get there and you master that, you can get to the perfect will of God. But it's steps. So sometimes it might start off nasty medicine. That's cool. Then it turned out shredded wheat. That's cool. At least you're taking it. Right? It's taking it is better than not taking it, right? Right? So at least you're not doing nothing. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to bash your shredded wheat meal. I'm not going to bash the medicine. No, take it. But hopefully if you keep going, you'll grow to the strawberries and cream. You'll go to the point where you want it more than anything else. Once again, it's not bestowed upon you. You have to grow there. This part says, It said, Bible study is essential to growth. Y'all get it? It's essential to growth. So we skip over to page 23. And it says, Bible study is essential to spiritual maturity. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. Concerning Christ, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain because you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, ye have need to give us somebody to teach you elementary principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of milk, only of milk, is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a what? Babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained and discern good and evil. So because of practice, I highlighted the whole scripture. And it says, because of practice, I've been trained to discern good and evil. And so now, you know, what you ate today? Physically, you ain't got to tell me. What you ate today, though? Was it good? Did you enjoy it? Or was it milk? Or you just had to get milk all day tomorrow? But you grown. You ain't no baby, huh? Huh? You ain't on the bottle no more, huh? No, real life. Physical. Come on. Anybody here still on the bottle? Nobody, huh? You want to eat what you want. You got your strong teeth now. You want to eat whatever you want, right, when you want. Because you're grown, ain't it? Uh-huh. Matured. It says you become dull of hearing. Now somebody got to come back and teach you the elementary thing because you didn't train yourself in what you should have trained yourself in. So now you come to the point where you need milk. Ain't nothing worse than a milky preacher. A milk drinking preacher. Not physical milk. I like milk. Cereal stuff. Y'all get that. But I'm talking about in the word milk. You still on the milk? Why are you up here? Go back to school. You become dull. What happens is you become dull of hearing. What happens if you don't live by the book and you don't study to show yourself approved? You become dull of hearing. And so now God could be trying to send a word to you through a man of God, but you can't pick it up because you're dull, because you've not trained yourself on a regular basis. For instance, I come to church this Sunday, and when apostles are teaching, he start cutting that word. It ain't no, this ain't no ABCs of faith. No, he start cutting it. He start saying some stuff. It's like boom, 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 boom. And you got to be ready for this. And so my preparation got to be all week long for that. Because if I get there in that with a strong current and a strong anointing, and God is trying to take me somewhere in a stronger place, but I have not prepared myself, the oil with the virgins, the oil, if I'm not prepared myself to be taken to the next level, then that word will hit me and drop off to the ground. Or that word will cross, straight across my head. I'll say amen in church for the sake of saying amen, because you don't want nobody to think you ain't getting it, right? Y'all know how we do it. Amen, amen. No. But is it getting in there? Have you, for the seed of the word, have you worked the ground up enough to be able to receive the seed? See, when I never met my grandfather. He passed away. My dad's dad, he passed away years before I was born. My grandmother, too, passed away years before. But my daddy used to tell me stories about him being a farmer and telling how he used to go. Now my aunt, my oldest aunt, she's going home to be with the Lord now, but my oldest aunt used to go by her house. She had a garden in the back. She's gardening, and she used to tell me the story about how my grandfather used to go. He said he was a master with sowing. He's just a master. It's amazing how God birthed that message in Apostle Thompson, from him being able to see how to sow physically. All right, God be doing what he want to do. You never know what story he working out. But he said he'll go out there and he'll work that ground up. And he said he'll go out there and till that ground and go before they start dropping the seeds. He just want to sling seed. Get the seed of the word. Get the seed of the word. Well, are you prepared for the seed of the word? Are you prepared when God is trying to deliver that rhema word to you? Is your heart prepared for that? On the special moment, what people don't understand about church, when we get to church, it becomes a special moment because we, the church, are there and all our anointings are mingling. For God, the Bible said, well, two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. So that means when we gather on a Sunday morning, God is going to do something special there because we're all gathered together. But watch this. God will say something special, have a special word for you. But if you have not prepared yourself on Thursday, or Friday, and you've not lived by the book on that time, on your own personal time, showing yourself approved unto God, not the people at church, but approved unto God, then when what happens is that seed will fall by the wayside. You know the parable, huh? The sower sowed the word, and it hit the hard ground, right? Then it got the thorns. You'll be thorny, you'll be hard ground, and you'll be reckless. It'll pass over, it'll hit you and fall to the ground because you have not tilled that ground to be able to receive the seed of that word. Do you see why living by the book is important? Living by the book ain't about preaching. Y'all hear me? Yeah. When you study and you live by the book, that's not about getting your message together. You'll get a message, yes, praise the Lord, but it's not about that. It's bigger than that. Most people study for a message. What's after that? When you done preached and tore the house down, now what? It's got to be bigger than that. God is not an event God. He's an eternal God. God is not built on your events or your situation. God is built on eternity. What's next? Every time I minister, like tonight, I go do different things. Every time I minister, after that, I'm trying to figure out what's next, God. Like, what you trying to tell me next? I ain't got no time for you to pat me on my back, tell me, oh, that's a good message. I ain't trying to hear that. Thank you. I ain't trying to hear it. What's next? Where we going next? What is God trying to say now? That was 20 minutes ago. God got a fresh word right now in this moment. I'm trying to see what he's saying. And not because I want to preach it, and not because I want somebody to think I'm anointed. I don't need y'all to think I'm anointed. I need God to anoint me. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. So it's essential for spiritual maturity. But you come dull of hearing. Well, I can't hear God. God ain't spoke to me in a long time. Well, that's probably why. This is the word of God. This is the word of God. This is it. So if you're not in this and you don't have this going on and God trying to speak, you're not going to recognize it. It's going to be like a foreign language to you. Because you don't even know what it looked like living by the book. Whether I got to preach again ever, whether it's my last time preaching, I'm just live the rest of my life and not preach another moment after this. I got to live by the book because the imperative thing is being close to God. Just being close to him. That's what it's all about. Just being close to him and giving him the ability to speak whatever he wants. Listen, I want to hear him. How about y'all? Listen, I don't want God to speak to me and I can't hear him. I don't want God to come to me and have, come on, think about a word from the Lord. I don't want him to have to come and talk to me, but I can't hear because I'm dull of hearing because I'm not living by his book. You think God take out his time to talk to us? It is a privilege for, how many other people God got to talk to? God got to talk to you. He got to talk to all of us. But he stopped in his goodness. He everywhere, right? In his goodness, God, this is a grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord. God loves me enough to decide to talk to me. Well, you know what? I consider it a privilege because you ain't had to say nothing to me. I don't deserve you to really say nothing to me in myself, in my feebleness. I don't deserve nothing, but God took time. God put me on his schedule. God took out time to say he wanted to talk to me. Me. Who am I? God wanted to talk to me. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to be the point where it crosses over my head and I don't get it. So I'm going to live by the word. I'm going to live by the word. I'm going to live by the word. And so whenever he show up, he say he may not come when you want him, but he always on time. Y'all know the statement, huh? Listen, I ain't got to tell him when he got to speak to me. God, you got to speak. No, look, you speak to me when you want to, God. But I'll tell you what, when you do start talking, somebody going to hear you. It's going to be me. Why? Because I'm living by the word. I'm living by the word. If you don't say nothing to me for the next 2 days, the third day, I'm living by the word. That's where it's got to be. Look at my time. I ain't getting in no trouble. Next page, 24. It says Bible study is essential to spiritual effectiveness. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. We're gonna read that in the regular King James. 2 Timothy 3, as you flip over a page, because we're still in chapter 2. All scripture, in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Four things: for doctrine, rebuke, other words, reproof, correction, and training. You see right down there where it says doctrine, I put a number one by that. That's how I study, okay? I put a number one by that. First, for doctrine, or teaching. That is, it will instruct your thinking. That's crucial because if you're not thinking correctly, y'all reading with me? If you're not thinking correctly, you are not living correctly. If you're not thinking correctly, you're not living correctly. If you're living reckless, you think reckless. If you got stuff in your life that you don't like, it's something in your thoughts that you shouldn't like. What you believe will determine how you, what it say? Y'all not reading it? Y'all don't know where I'm at, huh? Huh? Everybody raise your hand. Tell me if y'all know me where I'm at. Page 24, let's talk about doctrine. It's the second to last sentence. Read that sentence. It says, what you believe. Go ahead, read it. All right, first year. Listen, I'm going to tell y'all something. Y'all need to be prepared. Y'all need to be up. It's time to read the Bible. Y'all be ready to read. Y'all be at the scripture, all right? You don't know where I'm at? Raise your hand. I don't know where you're at, so we can find it, all right? Need y'all be a little quicker than this, all right? Amen. Read it out. Ready, read. What you believe, underline it, highlight it, circle it, whatever you feel like doing to make you remember it. What you believe will determine how you behave. So if I believe this word, then I'll behave this word. Are you with me? Next part says, he also says the Bible is profitable for rebuke. Now, nobody likes that word, the R word, rebuke. Nobody likes to get rebuked, but it's good for you sometimes because sometimes you need to be rebuked. That is, it will tell you where you are out of bounds. Now, wouldn't you want somebody to tell you that? Over in Romans, the Bible talks about, you know, if they turn to themselves and they don't want to hear it, he said, I give them over to a reprobate mind. Y'all know what a reprobate mind is? You ever heard that before? Who ain't never heard a reprobate mind before? It's about show of hand. Don't lie to me because I'm going to call you. Who don't know what a reprobate mind is? Who does not know what a reprobate mind is? All right, reprobate. All reprobate means is you ain't going to know left from right. You don't want to learn? I'm not going to tell you nothing no more. God said, I'll pull my hand back and you'll be on your own. I'm glad if somebody tell me I'm out of bounds. Tell me I'm out of bounds so I won't stay. Because out of bounds is where you get killed at. Tell me. But sometimes if you don't want to study, you don't want to get enough, God said, all right, you want to do it. You got it? You got this covered? Okay, reprobate. Reprobate is a terrible place because there's no direction. You don't know up from down, left from right, hot from cold. You don't know if you got your hand burning up, but it'd be the fell off by the time you'd have figured it out because you're reprobate. Let you know where you're out of bounds. It's like the umpire who cries out, save. It tells you what is sin. It tells you what God wants for your life. Third, it is profitable for correction. So now we got doctrine to mess with my thoughts, to tell me how I'm thinking, to show me where I'm thinking wrong. Then we got rebuke to tell me when I'm out of bounds. And now we have what? What's the C word? Correction. Come on. Correction. What is correction? Fixing me. Showing me. I answered C to the question, but it was wrong. The answer is really B. I corrected you. So now I mess with your mind because that's why you're behaving like that, right? Then I rebuked you for you're out of bounds. Then I take you. The word of God is for this. To bring correction. Shows you how to correct it. Then the fourth advantage, go down. You see the fourth advantage, I think it's like the second paragraph. It say a fourth advantage. Y'all see that? Do you see it? A fourth advantage. Y'all don't see it, huh? See a fourth advantage. Y'all see it now? Everybody got it? I want to make sure we're all together. The fourth advantage of the Bible is that it is profitable for training in righteous living. So now he messed with my mind, rebuke me, correct me, and then show me how to keep doing the right thing. It's the word of God. The next paragraph says, what is the overall purpose? Underline this. In order that ye might be equipped for every good work. And then the last line of that paragraph says, Bible study is a primary means, watch this, Bible study is a primary means to becoming an what kind of servant? Effective servant of Christ. Everybody want to serve Jesus. Huh? We all want to serve Jesus, right? No, but I want to be an effective servant. I want to be doing what needs to be done. I want to just be serving. I'm serving my Lord till the day I die. No. I want to be effective. I want to be exactly what he want me to be when he want me to be. I want to be efficient in what I'm doing. I want to be efficient with his anointing. The anointing is efficient. You can't just sling it around. It's streamlined. The word of God, it says, quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Cut right to where it got to go to. That's what the word of God, it's efficient. Cutting in, cutting out, it's efficient. That's what the word of God is. So to be an effective servant is a primary, the study of the word is a primary means. Primary, what primary means? Not secondary. Primary. It's the primary means to be an effective servant of Jesus Christ. Y'all see that? I wrote, you can write it in your book, and I wrote it in a little open spot right around there. I said, preparation is key. A couple lines down, we're reading, and it starts talking about he was right, you know, or whatever. You see that line? It said, the next thing it said, the reason God can't use you more than he wants to may well be that you are not what? I want you to highlight all that. God, use me more. God says, read more. God, I want you to use me. All right, I want you to use that word. God, use me in a mighty way. Well, study me in a mighty way. I heard this today. It says, the effectiveness of your dream, not the effectiveness, the fulfillment of your dream, God didn't give everybody a dream, the fulfillment of your dream is directly proportioned to the strength of your faith. So the fulfillment of your dream is directly proportioned to what you put. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatever man, that shall he also. And it says, whatever measure ye meet, what happens? You're not going to get more measure than you meet measure. Y'all feel it, huh? Y'all understand that? So if I'm, they think sowing is a magic trick. I'm gonna get it a bit, but I want the world. I'm gonna slide this a little bit, but I want everything. God, give it all to me. Well, are you giving it all to Him? You know, they say, everybody want the hundredfold return. Everybody want, I want the hundredfold. Give me a hundredfold, Jesus. Give me a hundredfold. I want the hundredfold return. Lord, I'm sowing. Give me the hundredfold. But the Bible says, for the hundredfold, it said He gave houses and lands and mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters for the sake. He done gave it all up. What did you give for a hundredfold? Want you to use me, Jesus. I want to have that same type of anointing apostle God, Jesus. You don't know the price that was paid. And if you're not willing, see, God ain't reckless with His anointing either. You know that, right? You know, He tell us to be good stewards. He's the best steward. I'm not going to drop no anointing on you. You ain't ready because you're going to kill somebody. Probably yourself. Sense of the growth, maturity, spiritual effectiveness. I'll flip over to chapter 3. I think I get through these. And then hopefully I get through these. I got some underlining up in here, boy. A couple minutes. Chapter 3. How can this book help? Y'all see that? Flip over to the next page. I think it's page 30. It says what you can expect from this book. And then you'll go down. And one, you'll find a simple and proven process. So underline that. Number two, and it's further down, you'll gain a valuable sense of self-confidence in your ability to handle the scripture. And I said this to myself when I read that first line, and he said it right here. There's nothing like self-assurance that comes from firsthand acquaintance with the Bible. There's nothing more sure than feeling sure about the word. Huh? Verse 3, and this is my favorite. It says, or one of my favorites, you'll experience the joy of what? Personal discovery. There is no joy, he said in this line right here, but there is nothing. Now, you ever dug in the Word, started reading the Word, and the Lord showed you something in there that pertained to your life that you can apply? Ain't no feeling like that. Ain't no feeling like that to be in that, especially a scripture you've been knowing for a while. You get in there and start digging there, and the Lord show you something, and that scripture jump off that page and stand up in front of you and look at you in your eye and tell you this is how you're supposed to handle it? Ain't no joy like that. Just like a personal discovery, all right? And this is mundane, but you'll put on some pants that you ain't worn in a while, or put on a jacket you ain't had in a while, and you find some money in the pocket. Ain't nothing. You say, who, Jesus? She, my brother. Huh? You start feeling, I done came up right quick, right? Y'all know the feeling. Ain't nothing like personal discovery. Ain't nothing like going in there for yourself. Not pastor told me. No. This is a regular old Tuesday. Ain't no prayer going on. Ain't no church service going on. It's just me and God, and I get into this word, and God starts talking to me like we at church. Ain't nothing like personal discovery. Ain't no joy gonna fulfill that. The next one is on the next page, page 33. It says, you will deepen your relationship with God. A couple lines down, it's the last line in that section before you get the cost. It said, God has prepared incredible things for you. The scriptures are His appointed means for bringing them to you. Y'all hear that? God has prepared incredible things for you. The scriptures are His means for bringing them to you. Costs, but there are costs involved. The riches of God are free, but they are not cheap. Bible study places several expectations on you. Let me mention three, but I like the first line in the next one. Scripture does not yield its fruit to the lazy. If you feel like being lazy, well, I'm lazy. Well, quit. You need to stop now. This ain't for you. This is not for the lazy. Getting close to God is not for the lazy. You don't do that easy. What, you tell me what relationship is easy, and I'll tell you a relationship ain't worth having. You just walk up to God. You ain't got to press. You ain't got to get to the holiest of holiest. You ain't got to open up heaven. You just walk in when you want. Well, you're going to be reckless. You're not going to appreciate it. You're going to just be doing what you want to do when you want to do it. No. But when it takes a task, and when it takes a little work, and take a little sweat, take a little time praying, take me to do a little study, take me to do a little pressing, take me to work a little while, it takes a little meditation time for me to get in, then I appreciate it because of the work that I put in. You ever worked hard for something and got a reward for it? Huh? Ain't nothing like it. You know, sometimes when you get stuff, then you ain't work hard for it, sometimes you don't appreciate it. I know a lot of young men are like that. I know some young men, they don't work for nothing, and so when they get a bunch of stuff, they don't really appreciate it. So they just dirty it all up, drive all kind of ways, do all kind of stuff because they ain't had to pay for nothing. But boy, I always see the change. They get that job, and now I got to come out of your check. You know, they on the phone reckless. You all night texting everybody, breaking your text limit, all that. But when you got to pay for it, you start being, oh, yeah, well, I can't talk right now. So having a little, oh, now you got the wisdom because it's the price that you got to pay. Doesn't yield its fruit to the lazy. Read the next one. You can unline the next one. We'll start the next chapter. I'm excited about the next chapter because it really gets into to how we do with observation, interpretation, and application. But I just want you to underline the next one. Openness to study. The next page it says openness to God and openness to change. Y'all see those? Openness to study, openness to God, openness to change. I want y'all to go ahead and read into chapter 4. Take it in a little bit. If you rule of thumb, if you read a little bit before me and you go a little bit ahead, then we can make a little bit more progress in class. Y'all can see this book kind of thick. I've been preaching my third year of preaching. I ain't made it through a book yet. All right, so I'm trying to make it, y'all. So y'all help me make it, all right? Amen.